excited to be joined today by actor, producer, filmmaker, whatever else you are, Joaquin Phoenix. Hey, how are you?
I'm all right.
Thank you for coming here. Joaquin, I'm going to apologize right now for the fact that you did not know we were going live with an interview, and I appreciate that you're sitting here. It's great. It's great to see you here. I sincerely think, we were just talking about whether interviews can get fake or performative, but I sincerely think that you're one of the actors that I will go see in almost anything, even if it's a movie I don't think I'm interested in, because I feel like you're going to take that story or that role someplace that I probably didn't expect. And
that's such a nice thing to say.
Well,
thank you.
This film, which we just saw a trailer for, you were never really here. Not that I don't get the impression you're somebody who's that concerned about awards, but you did get the Best Actor Award at the Cannes Film Festival. Even for somebody who doesn't care about awards, I feel like that one has a little bit of sort of cinema magic around the edges of it. Do you feel that way at all? Or do you not care about those things?
I think part of it is that you don't want to care about those things too much. Just so you were talking about an interview becoming performative, I think there's something like dangerous about having too much reverence for that kind of thing, right? But if you can keep it in perspective and like, hey, you go, oh, it's really nice to be a part of that. It's nice to have that recognition. But I think that's about as far as it goes for me. But I was really honored. I thought it was nice. But I also can't help but think, the judges must have been not very good. limited spot. There wasn't been, the movies weren't that good or something. I can't help but think that way. I guess it was nice.
Well, if people see this film, You Were Never Really Here, as people probably saw it in the trailer that we just watched, this is a pretty intense movie, which I gather kind of came up pretty suddenly. You had Lynn Ramsey, the director, who, if people haven't seen her work, is an amazing filmmaker. You hadn't worked with her before, right?
No.
So how did this kind of project come up?
Well, honestly, I was with, I hadn't worked in about a year and a half, and I was with the cinematographer, Darius Kanji. I don't know if you know Darius.
Yeah, sure.
And I said, Darius, who's the director of you like? Who do you want to work with? And he said, Lynn Ramsey. And I had seen Ratcatcher years before.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by chance, I was talking to Jim Wilson as a producer who I worked with 20 years ago. And I said, do you know this woman, Lynn Ramsey? And he said, yeah. And as a matter of fact, she's working on this project that she wants to talk to you about. And I said, oh, okay, wow, great. And then I forgot about it. And 6 months later or something, she reached out.
And this, she had a screenplay at that point for you to read.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things, I mean, we can talk about, is it hard to talk about the acting you did for a movie this is one of the things that maybe feels a little artificial at times. You're talking about acting that you did, whatever it was, a year ago, a year and a half ago, some time ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go around and talk to people like me about the decisions that you made at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something, is that difficult or something strange about doing that?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't think, I rarely really remember why I chose to do something. I mean, oftentimes it's just what, you think you remember, but I don't really know, so it's all right. I mean, I just, you're like, oh, well, I'll just make something up.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago. But yeah, people get asked questions and, why did I want to make it, or why did I make that decision for the character? And I don't really know.
And I've heard other actors say something like that, but your work, it seems to me from the outside, again, you're the guy that does it. It feels like when you're doing it, you're kind of right there making decisions that are maybe not entirely conscious.
I hope.
Yeah.
I mean, I think to me, that's my that's what I'm aiming for. That's the best moment when I'm not making a conscious decision, right? So you have all this time in rehearsals and before you actually start shooting, even on the day. And that's the time where I think about all the different possibilities and you go through the script and you can't help but come up with ideas. And but if I ever go onto set and then consciously try to use one of those ideas that I've had, it's always really bad, like without fail. And the only time that something, I don't know if it's good or not, I can't really say that, but the only time it feels like it works for me is when I'm not making that conscious decision, right? So I like to have, I guess, a lot of options like available. And then you try to just react in the moment. But oftentimes, sometimes you read a scene and you walk in the door and you imagine walking in the door and you walk in kind of push like that. And then you get to set and it like opens, the door opens out. And so you've planned like this whole thing where I'm gonna walk in and say the line like that. And now it changes everything. And so I'm trying more and more just to really just have like these possibilities available but not make any kind of decision until I'm in the experience. That sounds so fucking pretentious.
not really. It's just like you're trying to find a way to simulate being another person, right? That's what it's about. And that's a puzzling task, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you at that point you stop thinking about the idea of like being another person or like being a character, right? I don't know when that comes up. That always seems like dangerous to me. I try not to make rules about the character. I kind of like don't like that idea of like my character would never do that. I just go like I don't know what the fuck they do. You know, anything's possible. There's things that I do all the time that are out of character. What does that mean to be in character? So. Again, it's like a process that honestly I don't really understand. It has as much or maybe more so to do with other people than me.
Mm-hmm.
The filmmaker, the other actors, people on set, the crew, so many people that you don't even know about, and they have such a profound impact on the character and the role and how you're feeling that day and how you behave. It's something that honestly I don't fully understand, and I don't really want to.
In this, almost every review that's been written about You Were Never Really Here, which is in theaters right now, we should say that, and I think it's going to be on Amazon later on when they get to that part of the process. A lot of the reviews have compared it to Taxi Driver, which is probably sort of a trap, and I can understand why, because there are some sort of thematic similarities. The characters in both cases are, you know, loners. But I would have to assume that that's the kind of thing, that's the kind of thought that when you're making the movie, you just can't afford to have. Like, this character is in a situation similar to Prince Hamlet or something. You can't really go to, is that right? You can't really go to that sort of intellectual space. That's,
I mean, maybe some people can, maybe some people do, I don't know, maybe I have before, I don't know, but I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know, I don't think there's really any rules, you know, like, I feel like each movie just starts telling you what it wants to be, and sometimes you talk about things in a way on one movie that you wouldn't on another. And I don't really know why that happens. Mm. But certainly Taxi Driver didn't come up for us on this this movie. When I'd been asked about this before, and And it was the first time I was like, that hadn't occurred to me. And then I was asked about it, and I could understand why people would kind of draw that comparison. But I think that's unfair. I mean, in some ways, it's very nice, right? It's a great film. But, it's its own thing. And Lynn is so unique. Even if she was aiming for something else, it wouldn't be that. But it never came up in our conversations.
And another thing about this film is that, and I think this is true in some of our other films too, she doesn't shy away from episodes of violence. I think we can say that. But this is not the kind of movie that makes you feel like violence is painless or easy or doesn't come with terrible consequences. Was that important to you in terms of thinking about the role? Was that present for you?
I don't know what you mean.
There's a lot of movies that depict violence as right. almost painless, as something that yep. happens easily. The bad guys mm-hmm. get shot mm-hmm. and fall over.
Right.
And I feel like her presentation of violence is very moral, not moralistic, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. she's trying to show you what really happens mm-hmm. In episodes of violence.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think so. Like you react to information, right? So there's the kind of script version of something that you go into and you imagine a sequence being a particular way. And then you get to the location and you start working with the stunt designers and all the various people that are kind of involved in that process. And things just start occurring to you, right? Because Lynn or I had never hit anybody with a hammer before. And so I think in some ways you arrive and people have worked out this idea where you're going to hit somebody across the left side, then kind of jab in the middle and go left. And you suddenly hold the hammer and you go, one fucking hit from this and you're done,
yeah.
right? So it's like as soon as you start having something tangible, touching the world, I think it changes, what it is. But I think we certainly wanted to feel like every moment had weight and had mm-hmm. meaning behind it, or sometimes multiple meanings. That it was very layered, and that was something that we were very interested in from the beginning. I think what was most exciting about working on this in some ways was that discovery.
Was this the kind of character where you had to get outside of your own experience? And like, did you do any of the sort of classic actor things of trying to talk to people who'd been in some situation similar to this guy's experience, or did you just kind of ride with what was in the script?
I actually did. I mean, I spoke with this guy, his name is Ty Ritter. He actually does extractions like this. He's ex-military, mm-hmm. and he works with these guys that are ex-military, and they get intel, and they go in, and they actually extract these kids. So Jim Wilson and I spoke to him, and he had a book that I read. But it was very different. He's very different than my character is, right? And that's what happens oftentimes. Like you do research, and sure. so you just start taking what you think is important. I mean, for me, my favorite place to get to is when like a specialist says something, and I say, I don't care. That's where mm-hmm. I'm always trying to get to, right? Like that's what research is for me, is just arming me with enough information where I feel like, okay, this is mine now, and this is how I'm going to behave, because that's how it is. There are some kind of, I remember working with firefighters, and when you're in the academy, they're like, these are the rules, and then you get into the house, and they go like, I never fucking do that. Everyone has an approach, and
yeah.
let's go. Oh, that's where I want to get to.
It feels very much to me like you've I don't know how to put this, but it's like you've had these different periods in your career, periods where you were working really intensively, periods where you took a break. Is this a period where you're back to doing a lot of acting? Because I know you have two other movies that are, I think, are already come out in other countries. The movie with you and Rooney Mara as Jesus and Mary Magdalene, right? That's that one is coming out soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
then so for some reason, and I don't know why, I hadn't worked for 2 years, and then just 4 movies came together that I really wanted to be a part of, and I don't know why. And I've never done that. I've done kind of 3 movies before, but I've never done 4. And I don't know what I don't know if I'll make another movie soon or if I won't work for 2 years. I don't really know. It just happened that way. I've been really, really fortunate that these great filmmakers have had an interest in working with me. And it's hard to say no to that when if you have a great filmmaker that you admire and an interesting story or character, it's hard to say no.
I mean, it certainly seems like you've had these, I don't know if you're going to work with Lynn Ramsey again. I don't imagine you know that for sure, but you've worked with her. Now you've worked with Paul Thomas Anderson a couple of times, worked with my friend James Gray a couple of times. It was, you know, you actually had him during the I'm Still Here period. James told me that he actually didn't know whether, and I guess this was common, he actually didn't know there was a
period of it that he didn't know.
Right.
And then we did this. I did an interview with him. I had him come over, not an interview. I had him come over to my house, and I played some music and did a scene. He didn't know at that point what was happening. He left, and he was very distraught when he left because, you know, he's just really caring, emotional person.
Yeah.
And you know,
he was worried about you.
He was worried.
Yeah.
And so I went, I said, Casey, we have to tell, you know, it's horrible. And so I said, James, this is not real. I'm doing this thing. And, you know, will you participate? And will you not tell any, please don't tell anybody. And he, I think, was just relieved and was like, fine, yeah, I won't say anything. And I think, he was just relieved.
Well, now I have to figure out whether I got the authentic version of his pain or the scripted version of it. Was he being performative with me?
I don't know. I think you would have known.
Probably. Yeah, he's not known. The most. He's not that good at concealing his emotions.
Right.
James Gray, the director, with whom you made Two Lovers, one of my favorite of your films, actually, and not one that a whole ton of people saw, but I imagine that's not, you know, that's not the criterion by which you judge how much you liked it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I always just say, like, I want a movie to perform well enough so I can make another movie. So as long as I keep getting a job, I'm fine with whatever it does. I don't personally need a movie to be really successful. No, that's kind of fucked up because, like, I'm not financing it. So, like, of course, I go, I lost his money. That's all right. We had a great time making it. I'm kind of, as an actor, I don't really have to worry that much about the opening weekend and stuff.
Yeah.
As long as it's just, like, I can work again.
Yeah, this is, people are going to stretch for connections between a movie that's coming out, especially if it has sort of a serious theme as this one does, and the news. I remember that another actor told me that one of the things about Shakespeare plays is that they're always, no matter what Shakespeare play you pick, it's always connected to a current news event.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a little bit like this about this movie. It's a little cheap to say, does this movie have more relevance now because we're thinking a lot about guns and violence in American life right now, but maybe it's not a superficial question because of the thing you said about the movie trying to have weight, and that this is a movie that's trying to remind us that these events are real.
Mm-hmm.
Can you buy that at all, that this movie might hit people a certain way because we're thinking about the Parkland shooting, we're thinking about guns, we're thinking about kids, and that's not the movie's not
I don't know. I'm. if it does affect people, I think it's because of what you said, which each moment was taken very seriously and given a lot of weight. It's not graphic violence just for the fun of it. That there's none of that. I think that's something that we were aware of and concerned about, but I don't really know how it's going to affect people. And I understand why you'd ask that question, but
it's a little bit of a stretch. But the thing that you said about the hammer was interesting, because it's like in a lot of action movies, you feel like the objects and the bullets and the human bodies don't actually have weight in the mm-hmm. literal sense mm-hmm. of weight. Like they're mm-hmm. not using they're not respecting the physical universe. Mm-hmm. And isn't, in a way, if you respect the physical universe with the hammer, it feels like a real hammer, the body is gonna fall like a real body, whatever. It's going to have more impact, I think. Do you buy that?
I do, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but I think so. I mean, I think it's just giving it, making it as authentic and realistic as possible. And I think when you do that, it affects you in a more authentic way.
I feel like we could keep conversing. I'm really grateful that you came and sat here and stuck it out. It's a real pleasure to meet you. I had lots of other questions, but we should let you continue with your day. This is Joaquin Phoenix, who is the star of You Were Never Really Here, which is in theaters right now. And also coming up is, what's Mary Magdalene is the name of the movie?
Mary Magdalene, yeah.
In which you play Jesus Christ.
Right. And
did you do some research for that character?
And then there's a movie called, I can't fucking remember.
Gus Van Sant.
That's not what it's called. Yeah,
I can't fucking remember.
He won't get far on foot.
You won't get far on foot. Yes.
And
two movies with you in the as the first.
My apologies.
Wow.
I like to apologize. In
but
advance.
You won't get far on foot is
he won't get far on foot.
He won't get far on foot. I'm so sorry.
I honestly can't remember. This is so embarrassing. But in my defense, I was doing an interview earlier with somebody, and they said the title, and they said it wrong.
They said it wrong, okay.
And so now I'm going to blame them for it, yeah. Thank you, that's
what
it's called.
Don't worry, he won't get far on foot. And that's...
How could... No, but I mean, that's really...
And that's...
super embarrassing.
Gus Van Sant directed that movie, and...
Yes. I was trying to make a joke about forgetting the director's name, but I... it was Gus Van Sant, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the title is a little bit of a joke because you're playing somebody who literally can't walk, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sure. So who's a paraplegic or a quadriplegic? I can't remember.
Quad.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you do the whole role basically without arms and legs?
There is a portion of the film where he was able-bodied.
Right.
And then there's a portion where he's not.
Right.
So thank you so much. You've made this as painless as possible. I really appreciate it. It's so nice to chat.
I appreciate it. Joaquin Phoenix, thank you so much.